Once more unto the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting second hour of The Personal Wealth Coach starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And again, I say it's exciting because we have the ability to get crosswired and messed up and make complete, well, not make, but demonstrate what complete fools we are. And again, I guess if there's a theme that if I were running everything by myself, which I'm not, but the theme is there's a lot going on out there and markets are flat and interest rates are super low and their danger right now is greed. The danger for investors is a lack of patience and greed. And at the end of the last hour, we were talking about the fact that the fundamental economic numbers that drive our economy and ultimately drive earnings, that drive the value of the market, are rising and rising very nicely and have been, particularly for the last half of this year, which indicates that it's kind of like a tide has hit low and is starting to rise. There's a tremendous force in the economy that is moving upward at this point. Market participants, the short-term investors in the market who drive the day-to-day movements of the market, instead of focusing on that, seem to be absolutely spellbound by whether or not the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates from an official position where they are officially today of 0 to 0.25% to 0.25%. Man, have these guys not got an imagination, do they? The market, by the way, jumped on Friday, and I was reading why.
Mm-hmm.
It jumped upward on Friday.
Well, it jumped up because of the jobs report and because the Fed said they were going to raise interest rates.
Yeah, but it went down because Janet Yellen's speech on Thursday indicated that
they might raise interest rates.
They might raise interest rates, and it went up on Friday because economic reports had made it almost certain they're going to raise interest rates.
Which doesn't make any sense, except that's just the way it goes.
The other reason that the market jumped on Friday that was given is that Mario Draghi, the chairman of the European Central Bank, said he probably would be lowering interest rates and pushing economic stimulus through 2017. So what we have is two major central banks one in the United States, one in Europe, approximately equal size.
Uh-huh.
Between the two of them, the absolute majority of all the economic activity on the planet, one says, I'm almost certainly going to slightly raise interest rates. The other one says, we're going to be lowering interest rates through 2017. Opposite things. And the market went up. This is one of those, the day before, there was some concern that Mario Draghi might not raise interest rates as much.
Or lower interest rates as much.
Not lower interest rates as much. And the possibility existed that the United States might not raise interest rates. So the market went down. Now, if you think that there's any rationality to that, I would encourage you to find some way to explain it to me, because there isn't. And one of the things that we put in the newsletter this week is that these movements in the market are random. And you see, a movement from one day to the next as big as the one we just saw, and you say, how can that just be a random movement? The fact is, we were talking about the shootings. A lot of times, if you see the tapes of these shootings, somebody shoots, and then everybody shoots. And if you ask the rest of the people who shot why they shot, they shot because they heard a gunshot.
Right.
If you ask all these people why the market went down one day, other people who were trading, and then up the next, a great deal, it really boils down to the fact that they're all on edge. They don't have cause to do much of anything. They're afraid. By the way, a second reason that was given in the news reports for Thursday's market drop was because of the shootings in California.
But then it jumped the next day.
Yeah, well, this is the point. It's a terrible tragedy when somebody comes into a place where they used to work and no matter what the cause is, we figure out after the fact.
Right.
And kills a bunch of people.
That's not good.
But what's that got to do with the New York Stock Exchange?
Right.
And the answer is...
What does it have to do with the profits of Apple or GE?
Actually...
Zero. Nothing.
Ruger probably would go up, you know, and Smith & Wesson stock should rise on that.
Well, those are very effective materials. Yeah. Well, the thing is, and that's important, what we're seeing is a rise in sales across the board for manufacturers of firearms.
Yeah, but this is the point. The stock market went down. Why did the stock market? There is no rationale to that whatsoever other than...
Who said people had to be rational?
As one trader said, he looked up, he saw stretchers and people being carted out of a building, and he started selling.
Right.
And once you get several people selling, everybody else sees these people over here are selling.
Just like gunshots.
Therefore, I'm going to sell too. There is almost no rationality to short-term market movements. There may be some in there someplace that I've never been able to find, but it's what's called a random walk. It's just staggering.
Well,
it's a drunk staggering down the street.
This is something I have brought up in the past. I'll bring it up in the future. Our entire sense of reality is changed by the opinions of the moment. So if you see a shooting on television, it isn't quite as powerful as being there and present. Being present for it. It isn't. In that, if you think about...
not even close.
Not even close.
No smells.
No smells. There's nothing visceral there. I mean, if you...
And you don't actually see the shooting in most cases.
Right. If you are at the scene and you don't see it, it's far more powerful than seeing it on the news. But seeing it on the news is still powerful. It's not anywhere near as powerful, but it causes you to feel like you are in danger. When you are... In most cases, in many cases, many, 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 many miles away from the site of the catastrophe. That causes a sense of fear, and people start selling because fear means, oh, I need to prepare for something. And why they would want to sell GE or Apple or fill in the blank with your symbol for whatever stock, why the entire stock market goes down because someone is afraid from watching television somewhere a long ways away, there are some issues there in our minds. And if we don't recognize that, this is the whole nature of behavioral economics. If we don't recognize our own weaknesses, we're going to fall for them again and again and again. It's great. I bring up the study because it came out in November of last year. So it's been out over a year. It was published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, and Duke University put it together. And they did an amazing job of comparing data that we know the data is correct. And I'm not talking about doctored numbers. We like really know the data is correct. And we took two really politically charged situations that really shouldn't be about a political party, but they are. And the Duke researchers separated the people they were studying into two groups of Republicans and Democrats and presented them the same data with two different solutions for each set of data. And there are two data points. One was gun control and one was global warming, climate change, whatever you want to call it. So what they found is that when Republicans were presented the data on climate change, pure data, that says this is the size of the ice mass that we've lost in the last decade, in the last two decades. This is it. And they were presented a free market solution. Well into the mid 60% of the Republicans believed that climate change was real. When they were presented a solution that was mandated by the government, only about 20% of them believed that it was real. Same data. This is something in behavioral economics and psychology, they call it solution bias. If the solution isn't one you like, you don't admit the problem exists. But wait, there's more. Because the Democrats were given that same information, and they didn't seem to have a solution bias. They seemed to think that climate change was going to happen, whether it was free market or government. The next set of data was on gun control. And as you would expect, the Republicans, given data on gun control, the data is very clear. If you look at mass shootings, about 20% of the mass shootings in the last several decades have happened in California, which is the state with the highest gun control laws. If you look at when gun controls are loosened in areas, gun crime goes down. And it's pretty solid fact. We're not, there's no numbers being made up here. It's, you look at it and you see crime drops because more people have, more law-abiding citizens are able to own guns. And if you look at national polls, well into the, I think it's 67% of people feel safer in having a gun in the house. These are Democrats as well as Republicans. So you throw that all together and you say, all right, well, the Democrats are given a gun control set of data and there's gun crime out there and they're given a free market solution where more people own guns and they're given a governmental solution where more people are required to register their guns or not own them. And when the governmental solution is given that more gun control, they ignore the data that's just been presented to them, and it's very similar to the ignoring of the data on climate change, where basically they say no free market solution, only government solution, where the Republicans on climate change say no government solution, only free market. So that's, I mean, it shouldn't be surprising, except that when you're, when people are given two solutions, it influences whether or not they even believe there's a problem. And, you know, there's a knee-jerk reaction to there's a mass shooting, more gun control on the Democrat side. There's a knee-jerk reaction on the Republican side, less gun control. And I don't think that's going to go away, but recognizing that the data says something very clearly, recognizing that in climate change, there's a knee-jerk reaction among conservatives to say it doesn't exist because we don't like the solutions that are being provided. It's the same irrationality on both sides. If you don't admit that you have irrational thoughts, that's an irrational thought.
I heard some good news. I heard some good news on that this morning.
What's that, irrationality?
No, on the viewpoint. On NPR this morning on...
Not widely known as a conservative news source.
No, but my experience is the morning program they have on there, which is generally... not all things considered, but what is it? I forgot the name of it now. They have a morning news program on there, and I'm drawing a blank on the name. The point is, this morning they had two different people on there. One was in a recently retired Republican congressman who has formed an organization called Republican.org. And he has...
Was it Weekend Edition?
Yes, it's Weekend Edition. He had a, he said, yeah, he initially, as a congressman, took the position that global warming was a bunch of hokey. He said he never really looked into it. He just listened to what people told him.
Right.
His son convinced him to dig into it personally. He did. And he discovered it's happening. Not only is it happening, but it's happening, the heating process of our planet is rising with the quantity of carbon dioxide in the air.
Right.
And he said, we really need to do something about this. So what he's done is he's come up with a, and this is his point, he makes speeches about this, free market solutions. And he said, in what you said about the study, he said when he presents it is, he said if he was in an extremely red area,
right,
with Republicans, and a Republican, and he were to say global warming is a threat, global warming is happening, immediately they turn him off. But
right,
if he says there's an opportunity for a free market system to stop global warming, he said it's amazing. The same crowd will love him. Now, notice that in one case, all he's doing is saying there's a problem. He's immediately hated.
Yeah.
If he says there are good, the best way to solve global warming is to allow the free market to solve it. Now, in the same program this morning, they had Jeffrey Goldberg from The Atlantic,
mm-hmm,
which is not a conservative publication.
Not by almost any standard.
Who said people who are calling for tighter gun controls laws are basically in a fantasy land.
Right.
He said there are more guns in the United States and there are people. There's over 330 million guns that we know of,
right,
in the United States in the hands of the public. He said you cannot stop that. You can't even touch it.
Right. Well, so, if you tried, then there would be an uprising.
But you'd have to get a majority to want to do it.
Right, and that's not going to happen.
But this is the point. What he said is, and he is advocating this, and the liberals hate him for it, by the way.
Of course.
More licensed concealed carry laws, and don't make any place off limits to licensed concealed carry.
Right.
So that he said, he's the guy that made this interesting comment. He said, the massacres are occurring in places that have a sign on the door that you can't
gun-free
bring
zone.
It's a gun-free zone. As a result, he said, the people who are shooting a lot of people know that they won't be. No one will pull a gun and shoot back at them. He said, let's be practical. The question is not, do I want my ideology supported my idea of the way things should be in a draconian government crackdown that confiscates all guns? Because he said, that's not going to happen in the United States.
No, and not only would it, I mean, you would have to change the Constitution to begin with, which that's not going to happen. You need a supermajority right. in the Senate, and then you need it ratified by all the states.
And we've got the...
It's just not going to happen.
We've even had the Supreme Court say that Second Amendment is what basically the NRA says it is.
Right. It's you're allowed to own firearms.
That's and carry what them.
Yeah, and carry them.
So the end result is you have a left-winger who is a spokesman for the left.
Right.
And he is, really.
Wait, I said right just as a correct, not as left-right.
Okay.
So just let you know.
But you have a left-winger who is a leading thought provoker in the Atlantic.
A leading thought leader?
Provoker, who is saying we need to back up and say, do we want to stop the massacres or do we want to be right?
Right, and that's
said,
where.
So the answer, he said, and he also pointed out that in states where concealed carry, like Texas, laws have been passed, you'll notice the massacres are not happening.
Well, there's something else happening as a generational shift in politics. We've mentioned it that Paul Ryan's taken over as Speaker of the House. In taking over as Speaker of the House, he's a Generation Xer. He's no longer a baby. There's not a baby boomer in charge of the House of Representatives. That says something, because one of the hallmarks of the baby boom generation is polarity, starting with their young age in the 60s, when the first time really in a century that American youth were that rebellious against the political world. And then you had groups of youth that were rebellious against the rebellious people in the youth. So that generation has grown up, and they're just as polarized as they were then. Some of them have changed from being a anti-draft to a pro-government, pro-military stand, and some of them are still anti-government, anti-military. But the extremity in belief is still very, very strong. And then as you come forward, as the Generation Xers are coming in, and they're kind of saying, hey, guys, why are we arguing about this? Just look at the data. Look, and I'm Generation X, and so I look at the data, and I say, well, looks like from as many sources as I can view that global warming is not just happening. It's been happening for thousands of years. It's just speeding up. And that's not arguable. I mean, you can look at it and say, thousands of years we've been warming. Yes, is that human-related? Probably not. In the recent time, we can correlate human data with quicker warming. It's very easily done. You can look at the numbers and say, okay, these two are coming together. Now, is it possible that it's pure chance? Yeah, sure. But it's not possible that it's not warming. We're getting warmer. And
it's speeding up.
And it's speeding up. And even if we're not the cause, which seems to be the big debate, well, maybe people aren't the cause. Maybe it's just the world. Maybe it's the sun. Maybe it's fill in the blank. Is it possible for humans to have an impact on slowing it down? And yes, that is something, even if we didn't cause it, we have the ability to slow it down. And either way you look at it, if it's happening, and the data says it is, then we should probably do something about it. Now, free market solution I tend to prefer, because I don't think the government's very good at doing things.
The government's good at doing something.
Well, something. So for our military is a great job. They have done an amazing job with our military.
I read a very good commentary the other day. The government's really only good at one thing.
What's that?
War.
Yeah, that's true. Because and that's what we have been for. No,
but when there's something else that needs to be done,
uh-huh.
like we have too much poverty, what do we institute? A war on poverty.
Right.
Oh, drug use is hurting us.
Let's have a war on drugs. Some wars we're not so good at in the government.
Well, that's the point is, the government, the things they're not good at, you can always tell when there's a debacle coming. When it really isn't a war, but they call it a war. Because the point is, if you're not fighting a war, using the tactics associated with war...
Right. For instance...
Don't work real well, you know?
The war on terrorism is not really a war. It's some kind of police action.
I don't know.
Some kind of dilly-dallying around. It's not a war.
It isn't working.
No, it isn't. Now, Clausewitz said some pretty clear things about the purpose of war is to destroy the enemy's ability to make war.
Yes.
That's war. We're not doing that. In fact, we have no intention of doing that.
If we were to destroy the enemy's ability to make war, one of their primary tools is aircraft. Well, I suppose if we destroyed all the aircraft on the planet,
right,
then they couldn't make war as effectively. That wouldn't be very effective.
Going all the way back to Sun Tzu is identifying the enemy, and we're having a lot of trouble with that. A lot of trouble. Because it isn't a whole 2 billion Muslims in the world. Because then we would be in a massive world war.
The first thing we'd have to do is attack Indonesia.
Right. That's probably not
that's
a good idea.
That's where the majority of Muslims
so
live.
So we have to recognize that this may be implemented as a religious war, but not by everyone that follows the religion. In fact, most people that follow the religion are not for the war.
And by the way, something that was not very well covered.
What's that?
Virtually every mosque in California came out on Thursday and Friday with sound condemnations of what happened.
Right. And which
loud condemnations that were not well covered in the news.
They didn't have to do that. And if you think about this for a second, the abortion shooting that happened this week, where a man went to a Planned Parenthood facility and shot the place up.
Mm-hmm.
Churches, Christian churches all over that state did not step out and say, we abhor this. Why not? I mean, they purport to believe the same religion as the person that was the shooter. And the reason is because the majority of us in this country are Christians. And so we know, as the majority, that most of us don't stand for going around shooting people to prevent something that we politically disagree with. Even people that are extremely strongly against abortion don't support somebody grabbing a firearm and going and shooting a bunch of people. Because you don't know what the people that work there believe. You really don't. I mean, they work there. It seems like they should believe. There's no...
He also wound up shooting some people who had nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Right,
too.
Right. He shot a police officer who knows what the police... police officer doesn't want this guy shooting people. That's what his political belief was. So going back to that, Christian churches all over the state and the country didn't step out and say, we don't believe what he's doing because we don't feel like it's necessary. Of course we don't believe that. But we've made the environment for being Muslim such that you have to physically come forward to say, I don't believe what that maniac over there believes, or everybody assumes you're a maniac. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem.
All right. Well, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach. And if this is Saturday, December 5th, you're welcome to give us a call at 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
Changing the subject just a little bit. If you have a life insurance, a universal life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, universal life insurance policy is not a variable universal life insurance policy, nor is it a whole life policy, nor is it a term policy.
It's often referred to as a UL.
Yeah, if you have a, which by the way, is the absolute majority of life insurance policies held in the United States today.
Right.
Go ahead and get ready for the fact that you're going to get a notice from your insurance company that your internal insurance rates are going to rise substantially. Because they are. And this is only step one, folks. But across the board, AXA has already gone up. A whole series of other companies have filed and are planning to raise their internal rates. And the problem with this is they're already paying very, very low interest rates. So people were promised that if you pay this many years into this thing, you won't have to pay anymore.
Yeah.
And now they're in the position where the insurance companies are saying our interest rates are lower than what we're paying, and we can't lower them any further because we get guaranteed interest rates that we said that we'll pay in these things.
Right.
And as a result, it's about to get really interesting.
They're not losing money because people are dying. They're losing money because people are using them as an investment vehicle, and they can't come up with a guaranteed interest rate.
All right. We have a caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach, I think. Go ahead.
Just lost him.
He hung up.
That's okay. I don't want to talk to us either.
Okay. Anyway, okay. Maybe the caller is back. We'll see here in just a moment. And I have to make sure that I can actually do this. Caller, you're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Yes, I did have to call you back. I didn't know if I made it through. Hey, I've been listening to you here about the terrorism and the global warming. And the polls that they took that you described, you know, they sounded like they were only two categories. And it seemed like you had to belong to one of the parties.
No. Now,
what about the independent people? What are they
independents.
About it?
Independents, and this isn't a poll. It was actually a psychological study on irrationality.
Oh, okay.
And the folks that were independent were used as the controls group. That independent group tended to believe that gun control was not effective and that that climate change was happening.
Yeah, the independents in the United States, by and large, and I've seen polls on this, believe that gun control laws are way too weak, which probably is true, by the way. I realize that I'm a guy who has a closet full of guns, by the way. And that global warming is happening and we are the primary cause. And by the way, the independents are the people who elect the president.
Yes, it's not the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. It is the swing voters, uh-huh. The ones that look at the views and say, and Rush Limbaugh doesn't like independents very much. He thinks that they are wishy-washy.
There's about 30% of Americans, plus or minus a few percent, depending on which poll you look at, who are diehard Republicans. There's about 30% of Americans who are diehard Democrats.
Which means that There are more independents than either Republicans or Democrats.
In any given year, it'll vary between 30% and 40% of voters are neither Republicans or Democrats. They're waiting for one of the two parties to convince them that they should go with that party, that party's nominee. And generally speaking, whoever wins the presidency is the person who, A, can manage to get the more extreme members of their own party to nominate them, and then B,
go to the center as soon as possible,
not completely destroy their centrist position in the process, and get to the center and convince that the people who actually are going to make the difference in the election, that they aren't crazy.
Yeah, the polls that I've seen they're not in a psychological publication, that are just polls that are quoted often, is that somewhere around 57% of the people in the United States that are voting age tend to believe that gun regulation needs to be made stronger, but 67% of them feel safer with a gun in the house.
Yeah, and so, frankly, it's a position where, whether we like it or not, if you go right now and people say, well, I don't want the government to know I have a gun, well, then you're smoking dope unless you're making your own ammunition and you made your own gun.
Yeah, it's
or you've
too
had
late
it
for that.
For many, many years, somewhere in the record, if you bought ammunition at any point, they know you got a gun. The issue is the people who have done the shooting recently are certifiably, clearly people who, is an interesting comment this morning on NPR, a person who can't get on an airplane can buy a gun.
Well, there are some issues here. For instance, the guy that shot up the Planned Parenthood.
Right.
He had a series of legal violations in his past.
And he should not have owned a gun.
No, he had hurt his female relationships physically.
Mm-hmm.
And the legal record was there. Should this person own a gun? No. You don't allow somebody that goes around using violence for no reason. But he was able to buy a gun legally.
How did he do that, by the way?
Because it was...
How did he pass the background check?
Because he didn't do the right type of crime in a certain period of time.
Ah, okay.
So it's really hard, and I don't know where the limits are. I don't know where to say this person has displayed psychotic tendencies. Don't allow them. I mean, if somebody's never broken a law, they're a U.S. citizen, I don't know how we can deny them the right to own a gun. I can't figure any reason why you should do that. Now, if somebody has been institutionalized and they're either voluntarily or by a group of doctors saying that they're a danger to the world, I don't think they should own a gun. But how do we justify that? I mean, it's a person who's disabled who now can't own a gun, and how do they ever get to a point where they can own a gun? This is a right that we would be taking. It. So that's a really hard area. It's not a simple cut.
This is my
cut
approach.
And dry.
Now, and I could be wrong. This is just, and when I say it's my approach, I'm not set in concrete on this. When you have something that is fundamentally a right to have,
right,
and believe it or not, driving a car is considered a right under the law. Okay. Because you need a car to get to work. You need a car to get to the hospital. You need a car to get to the grocery store. But cars are dangerous. Therefore, if you're going to drive a car, you have to receive training and pass a skill test.
Yeah.
And you have to keep that up to date at some minimal level over a long period of time.
The Second Amendment clearly says in a well-organized militia.
Well, the study refers to the government solving the issue or the free market solving the issue.
You're talking about
correct.
Global
yes.
warming, yeah.
No,
yeah.
And both global warming and gun control.
I would
yeah.
just be curious if they would ever figure out how many people at this point just flat out don't trust the government, because we've been boondoggled by them so many
right.
times.
Quite a lot. The majority of Democrats don't trust the government. The majority of Republicans don't trust the government. The absolute majority of Americans don't trust the government.
But we insist that the government do things for us.
Right. So there is a dichotomy there, an interesting, comfortably holding two opposite viewpoints in our mind, saying, I don't trust the government, but my potholes need fixing, or I don't trust the government, but we need more police, or I don't trust the government, but the teachers' union need...
Right. I don't trust the government, but if there's a disaster, we want them to step in and handle it.
You get that news-breaking story where... the government did this wonderful job fixing my potholes, but somebody did an investigation and said, yeah, and you know, he contracted to his great uncle, who he's heavily invested with, and they're living fat on the
right, exactly,
right,
exactly.
Dollar.
But that is,
it was a fixed pothole.
You know that, you know, most of those reports are extremely one-sided and extremely inaccurate. But because we have freedom of the press, which is a good thing, nobody really gets out there and carefully challenge. Matter of fact, if you read the paper or if you read an online publication, well, online, you have to really hunt to find them, like in the Wall Street Journal. But there is a place in there where they have corrections. And there's a lot of them, but almost nobody ever reads the corrections because they're buried on the editorial page.
Now,
we get corrections every month after they report, you know, the economy did this well, and then they say, well, we had to correct for this, that, and the other, and it really didn't do.
No, that was a revision. That was a revision, which is different from a correction.
Right, and this your point leads to something else. I mean, when we're talking about the First Amendment, the freedom of press, the Constitution doesn't give a definition for that. It just says anyone that is out there trying to disseminate information to other people, that's press. That was the definition of the time. Ben Franklin was a political activist that owned newspapers. And when the Parliament of Great Britain made a fool of him in public, he switched from being a royalist to being a Republican. And by Republican, I don't mean the party. I mean starting a republic here on the shores of this new world. And that was what they were intending to protect. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we're at a tipping point again where there is a big movement to try to define what that means. Both the upper members of the Republican and the Democrat parties have said that defining a journalist in a law needs to be done because too many people are claiming to be journalists. And I have a big red button in my mind that I slam every time I hear something like that. That's as big a deal to me as Barack Obama saying, let's institute gun laws where you're not allowed to buy guns. I say, wait a minute. And we have some real issues in the United States where police officers arrest people for taking pictures of things. That's not a crime. The courts have again and again shown it's not a crime, and yet it still happens, and it happens regularly. In Austin, Texas, where you think this is a bastion of liberal thinking, the police are arresting bloggers and citizen journalists that aren't working for a big news publication, so they don't have the same kind of clout. But when that happens, then the government's stepping too far. When the government can come and take your gun for no reason or arrest you for taking a picture of them, we have problems. And the awareness of those problems needs to be brought up. Now, unfortunately, it's not the problems that most of the world or most of the United States wants to think about at any given moment.
This is an interesting factor. You were talking about people, caller, you were talking about people not trusting the government.
Yeah.
And the Republicans, by and large, have a larger, because the president's a Democrat, that's the only reason, by the way, by and large, have less trust of the government than the Democrats do.
Right. If when George W. Bush was there,
it was the other way.
It was the other way. Yeah. And you can watch the polls swing back and forth as the president switches.
But this
switches
is the
parties.
Point. The Republicans also overwhelmingly want the government to institute a series of rules where they will control illegal aliens.
Right.
By making everyone carry at all times their papers, their federal identification. By the way,
registering people.
The same people who, if you ask them, do you think it is a good idea for the federal government to institute a law requiring that every person in the United States carry federal identification documents? They will say no.
But they expect immigrants to do it.
Yes.
And this is the key point.
Do you expect? Do you believe that the government should require everybody to prove that they're an American citizen?
Yes. So these are the same people that say, I don't want to carry a national ID card, but they want to require everyone to carry a national ID card. That's the dichotomies that we're talking about. The same happens over on the Democrat side. They just have different subjects for it.
Well, I think you got people saying, no, I don't want to have my papers every time I step out the door.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying, yeah, you're going to go vote. I want to make sure that
not
the
just
individual
vote.
Cast in the ballot.
Well,
that's
not just vote. That's
of, you know, the U.S. of A. And
that's
not,
voting.
You know.
But what about the immigration issues? When people are saying if they're an illegal immigrant, well, then they should be deported. If a police officer and you're walking down the street, a police officer walks up to you and says, "I'd like to see some ID." It is not your legal responsibility to show ID at that point. If you're being arrested for a crime, you are mandated to give the ID. Now, if you're driving, you have to give your ID. But if you're walking, you don't.
And
if you're so intent on immigration that you have to carry your immigration papers with you, then we have to change that law where police can come up to you at any point and say, where's your ID? And if you don't have it, he can arrest you.
And not only that, but a state driver's license doesn't constitute proof of citizenship.
Correct.
Or legal residency in the United States.
So basically, you'd have to carry a birth certificate
a
or a passport.
The birth certificate's not good enough.
Because
you
not
can really
picture.
Get into the weeds with that, because here in the state of Texas, if a cop just sees you trip over the curb, he can say, I think you're publicly intoxicated. I want to see your ID. And at this point,
right.
You're bound by law.
Yeah, because he suspects you of a crime. As soon as he
right.
says that I'm detaining you, I need to see
right.
your ID, you've got to show that ID.
You know, if you're driving down the road and you've not done anything wrong, but he just wants to pull you over, he says you crossed the center line. But, you know, and the old saying goes, you can beat the rap, you can't beat the ride. Because the minute you tell him, you know, hey, I'm going to play your game, now you're resisting.
Yeah,
right.
You know, you can go down that. But it's just back to the general mistrust of the government, because
and yet,
I'm curious to know, their study, what was the age group of the people? Because I can remember back in the 70s, we were all going to freeze to death. And then landfills were going to save us from ourselves with pollution. And then there was the ozone hole that managed to heal itself. It cost the economy enormous amounts of money because we all had to get away from one type of refrigerant and go to another type of refrigerant.
There is, by the way, on that.
It's just like one big scam after another.
Well, now,
I think a lot of Americans are looking at.
Let me make a point here. You just called something a scam because you heard somebody in rhetoric say it was a scam. Let me tell you something. the refrigerant issue, the ozone over the United States, they started measuring it after they found this hole down there. And with each succeeding year, it was getting thinner, and they were finding the byproducts of chlorofluorohydrocarbons, the stuff we banned, more and more of them up there. And as they were broken down by ultraviolet, the chemistry is there. It destroys the ozone.
Right.
And as a result,
the hole's gotten smaller since it's been banned.
Yeah, the ultraviolet that was coming and hitting the United States of America was increasing steadily over time. We stopped that, and the ozone layer has gotten thicker, and the ultraviolet rays have decreased.
It's kind of like it's really hard to prove something that you prevented was going to happen because you prevented it. And a good example of that, the ozone layer is an example of that, because we can look at the evidence and see that the hole has gotten smaller. Is it possible that that was pure chance? Yes, but probably not.
Yeah, it's kind of like if I have a gun and I pull the trigger – and a hole appears in the wall in front of my gun.
Is it possible that that was chance? Yeah, it's possible.
Could be a meteorite came streaking through at that exact moment, but I don't think so.
I
just don't think the government is in a position right now where they have any integrity or moral,
I disagree with you there.
With a majority of the people, because it has been just a repetitive. Now, the ozone, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't.
No, I'm going to tell you the government.
People can just point again and again and again at things where. And I'd just be curious to know, was it really a good study of a good cross section of the population, or
important.
Some of the surveys have been good cross sections.
This particular study was 72 men, 117 women, equally split between self-identified Democrats and Republicans. So that's the study. If we're talking about government, this is the tipping point again that we need to get involved. If you don't trust the government,
change it.
Change it. That's the beauty of our system, is that you can become the government. We are the government. Our voice is supposed to be the government. We are a government of the people, by the people, for the people, except that when we look at the government as a whole, we say we don't like them. When we look at our representative, we say, oh, yeah, we like that guy.
If there were a massive natural disaster here, let's say a huge, gigantic F5 tornado came through the Temple Belt in the area.
It doesn't even have to be that big. It could just be the Salado floods. FEMA.
We would expect the federal government to step in and make things better.
And we get upset if they don't.
Wouldn't you agree that the federal government should step in and help us?
It would depend. I mean, again, it's like that trust issue again. Every time the government gives you help, look at the old school district up there in Illinois, I think it was.
No, wait a minute. Stay local.
They wanted, but what I'm saying
is stay local.
The federal funds that were made available were used as a way to control it. So here again, yeah, you want them to come in and help you, but how many strings are attached to your help? What are you going to...
I'm simply asking the question, and the question is, if there is a natural disaster, we expect the government to step in and help us.
If we needed it, then I would accept it.
Right.
If it wasn't necessary, I'd say stay away.
Right, but we do trust the government to do things that the government should do. The backside to it is we voluntarily become dependent upon the government to do things because we're lazy.
Yeah. And that's...
We are the government.
We are the government. And when I ask people that are strongly opinionated about government change and then not running for office, I say, why not? Or not finding someone who they agree with and supporting them in running to office. This is something, it's not new. I mean, Jimmy Stewart had, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington? You go back at any given point in the history of the United States, and what you find is we have lifelong politicians that are running the government, and people don't tend to trust lifelong politicians.
Mm-hmm.
So the result of that should be that we have term limits, but we're not putting our foot down and insisting upon it. It's not something. In fact, we're saying, people say, I'm going to go in there and I believe in term limits, but then when they get up for re-election, they say, well, I've just gotten the hang of this. Now I'm here and I actually know how I'm actually a better person to do this than somebody new coming in.
Well, term limits are an interesting topic too, because you already have term limits. You just got to get out and vote.
Right.
You're right. Every 2 years, we have the opportunity to change the government.
Term limits here locally. You can't be on the city council anymore. You sat here too long. But then you go one cycle out, and you see the same face right back
right.
on the
well,
city
council. Well, you know, we have the opportunity to replace the entire House of Representatives every
2 years.
2 years,
that's
and
right.
we don't, which means we really do trust the government.
If you're giving you other people's stuff for free, you know, is another argument that
yeah,
you'll hear made,
true.
Too.
It's
so.
True.
Yeah, but I bet you if you vote, you go and vote for John Carter.
You know, surprisingly, I've not voted for Mr. Carter for multiple times now.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for the call.
Right.
You are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and we've got to do some commercials to keep KTEM on the air, none of which, by the way, do we necessarily endorse. So we'll be back on the other side with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. Got about 4.5 minutes left in the program today. And we have a caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead. Hello?
Caller? No caller?
Well, maybe, let's see, if I got all the right buttons. Oh,
there you go.
All the right buttons are pushed. So maybe there's not a caller on 773-1400, even though it indicates that the line is functional. Maybe I'm doing something wrong here. I don't
know. Looks like you got it right. I'm looking at your little...
Okay, well, okay. We tried. If you were on there and we couldn't hear you and you could hear us or something, give us a call back.
Sounded very relaxing. That conversation was the most relaxing one we've had all day.
Right. 773-1400 or...
1-866-597-1400.
With about 3.5 minutes left now. I guess, again, to reiterate the thing about what's going on in investments right now, we've had a flat market for the last couple of years. Even the smart money isn't not only not making money, they tend to be losing money at this point, the hedge funds.
I kind of disagree. That's the coined term, smart money, but I tend to disagree with that.
Well, they're not necessarily smart, but the sophisticated people
sophisticated
who supposedly
money.
Have an insider edge and know things the rest of us don't know. Have discovered how to lose a whole lot of money. By the way, many of the major hedge funds were heavily bet on Friday on the dollar rising and the euro falling, and the reverse happened on Friday, and they lost a tremendous amount of money, apparently.
They don't have the inside edge anymore. And 2 years ago, there was this big wave of investigations and fines and shutting down of hedge funds because
insider trading.
And so people were paying 20% of the gains and 2% a year to participate in the insider trading, and now it's been pretty well arrested and thrown in prison.
And there's quite a number of hedge funds that really weren't making that much money. They were Ponzi schemes.
Right. So put that all together. And you know, anytime somebody says this is a sophisticated investment,
that means you're probably going to lose your money or a lot of your money, and the people who put it together are going to become very wealthy.
Right. It's something that you don't need to get sophisticated to make money. I mean, if you're a business owner, that's a sophisticated enough thing. And you can, if you're making a profit, that's a sophisticated enough thing.
But
it's understandable.
Remember something about sophisticated investments or super insider, super secret investments. If you're not a sophist, you shouldn't be in them.
Sophistry.
And seriously, patience is what characterizes successful investors. Quality investments based on good information, and if you've listened to this program today, you've heard some good information about the economy. The economy is growing at a very nice rate internally. All the elements that drive it are growing at a very nice rate, and the stock market isn't.
That's a good sign that it's a good time to get in the market.
It is a good time to be invested. It's a good time to stay invested. It's a good time to be patient because this economy is the best one in the world, and that's just the way it is.
We're out of time for this week.
This has been the Personal Wealth Coach, and the Personal Wealth Coach is both this radio program and an SEC-registered investment advisor that's based in Salado. And if you'd like to give us a call off the air, we have voicemail on the weekends, live people during the week that answer the phone, and it's 947-1111. Or
you can reach it toll-free at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can email us at jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com, as in the personal wealth coach. You can go to our webpage, tpwc.com, listen to podcasts, read philosophy, see our ugly mugs and our beautiful staff. And again, there's those podcasts, the philosophy on there, it's worth reading. It's worth listening to. So this is the personal wealth coach.
Until next week.
Until next week.
This has been the personal wealth coach.
Fair, balanced. Your Fox News radio station in Central Texas. News Radio 1400 KTEM AM. Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.